Well, thank you very much. This is my, I think, third day on the job as Secretary of Agriculture, and I'm here in Kansas City at the Beacon facility. We want to get out and see our facilities. We have about 1,500 people here, mostly federal civil servants, but some contractors as well, that have a unique purpose. There are several different mission areas that are here, but one of the primary mission areas is this is a devolution area that if we needed to get out of D.C., we would come here and continue the operation service of the USDA. So it's a well-run facility. I had a great reception for the employees today. Many of them, it was bring your son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson to work today, and we have a lot of young prospective employees today that were very energetic, and I enjoyed meeting them. As a grandfather of 14, I love to see families knowing what their parents and grandparents do, and I think it's very healthy here in this workplace, and it was obviously well received. So I'm honored to be here in Kansas City and look forward to your questions, and it's been a great honor and great opportunity to work for a president who is, I think, keeping his promises. That's the ultimate thing, that when people vote for someone, they want to vote for someone who keeps their promises. And I believe in these 100 days that's coming up here, I think the American people can say that he has done his best to keep his promises on his campaign. And I agree with that. I think certly from an agricultural perspective, deregulation and rolling back some of the very onerous regulations that agriculturalists face was very, very important. He's done that, trying to get a handle on the debt situation as well. And I think creating a spirit of optimism and hopefulness in this nation that we vastly needed. And I look forward to continuing that. I'm hopeful about USDA. When I meet the kind of employees that we have here in Kansas City and across USDA, it gives me a spirit of optimism that this agency is in good hands and will be well served as we serve not only our producers, our shareholders, the taxpayer for efficiency and effectiveness, but also the consumers who depend on us for a safe food supply, and for those children in schools and other places who need the bounty of America for their nutritional needs. I'm encouraged by what I see at USDA, and I'm excited to be on the job. So I'll pause with that and look forward to answering your questions.
Hi, I'm Peggy Lowe, and I'm from the NPR member station here, KCUR. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know what your reflections are on the NAFTA news that has come out in the last not even 24 hours, with President Trump saying he was going to bust it up and now saying he has a deal with Canada and Mexico to renegotiate. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm a grain trader, and or was a grain trader, and President Trump's a trader. And I think, again, when you said he was going to do that, I think, again, he uses statements in many times from a negotiating perspective. So saying something was contemplated is not necessarily saying something was done or going to be done. I think the ultimate outcome is really what we're interested in. And I think what you read in the news today regarding Mexico and Canada's agreement to come to the table quickly to renegotiate this years-old trade affair will be helpful to producers of all kinds in America, both in the agricultural sector and the manufacturing sector. This president he wrote the art of the deal, and he likes to do the deal, and I'm persuaded that he has the leadership and the tenacity to make a good deal for Americans.
Because farmers don't want any rollback on NAFTA. It's been good for farmers.
All in all, I think that's what the president recognized, and that's why you saw what he decided to do is, but he also has to send a signal to Canada and Mexico and to Congress as well, frankly, that he's serious about renegotiating NAFTA. And he believes there are some things that need to be redone, retooled. And I think any trade agreement that this old, probably I agree with him that there needs to be some improvements in that. He's looking for a fairness and a balance to the trade thing. He's seen what happened in the automotive industry, for instance, and how some manufacturing is going to Mexico. It's taking jobs from Americans, and he wants those jobs here. So I agree with him that way. And while all on balance, NAFTA has been good for American agriculture, we think it can be even improved in the balance of agricultural products there as well. Yes, sir?
Mr. Secretary, Brian Abel with SHB. What advisement, if any, are you giving to the president on NAFTA and how the outcomes will affect farmers here in the heartland?
Well, the president keeps his own counsel. He asked of me what my advice was and trying to determine the best route to go. And I advised him of what the benefits were to agriculture in some areas and what the hits were. It's that's been all positive. It's been a net positive gain for agriculture, certainly in the grains and other things, certainly in fruits and vegetables and those kinds of things. It's a deficit. He believes certainly that in a country that's abundantly producing as America is, we should have a surplus, and he's determined to get that. So I'm advising him on what the data is. We're, I think, both data-driven decision makers, and he's making a decision based on facts, and I think we're giving him the facts from USDA over where he needs to approach Canada and Mexico in renegotiating NAFTA. I think what you saw him do with Canada earlier this week, frankly, in that while there were not that many dairy farmers affected, but what I like about the president is that he doesn't necessarily go where the numbers are. He goes where the right righteousness is. And when he saw that the Canadians had manipulated the dairy pricing market that cut out these producers who had been producing for this ultra-filtered milk going into Canada under the rules of NAFTA, and they changed the pricing mechanism that discriminated against them, then he called their hand on it and instituted a countervailing duty on timber and lumber coming in the country, which Canada had free rein. All those forests in the vastness of Canada, they were just charging a stumpage fee and really competing with our timber and the lumber producers in the U.S. unfairly. And so he called their hand. This is the president's going to fight for America. He's made it very clear. And frankly, I like that. I think it's time that we stood up for ourselves and fought for Americans and American producers. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have agreements, that we shouldn't have friendly trade negotiations. Certainly Mexico can do some things better than we do. Canada can do some things better than we do. And that's what the essence of trade. But from an agricultural perspective, we grow stuff very, very well. And my job as USDA secretary is to go around the world and make sure we're able to market and to sell the products that we grow very well and very productively around the world and make sure that our producers prosper and continue to thrive. Yes, sir.
This morning you had a meeting with House Ag leaders.
Yes.
What was your impression of the meeting, and is there any discussion yet about a farm bill?
Yes and yes. There was a great discussion. I've had a visit with Chairman Conaway, and Ranking Member Colin Penis from Minnesota was there. Obviously, the Appropriations Chair and Co-Chair, where the Ranking Member were there, Congressman Adderholt from Alabama, and Congressman Sanford Bishop from Georgia, whom I served in the State Senate with. We had a very productive meeting. You may know or may not know that while the confirmation process is going on, the Senate conferees don't really want you to meet with the House. So it was my first occasion to formally meet with the House members, and obviously they're part of the bicameral legislature, so it was very important for me to meet with them. They'll have a whack at the farm bill as well. It was productive, it was cordial, it was workmanlike, and I was impressed with the depth of knowledge that these members of the Ag Committee and Ag Appropriations Committee had. You know, there have been some challenges in both cotton and in dairy in the 14 Farm Bill. We talked about some potential solutions there going forward that will even make the 2018 Farm Bill smoother going forward, maybe to do some things prior to the 18 Farm Bill in cotton and dairy that could help the 18 Farm Bill go much smoother. Yes, sir.
Brian Lowry, Kansas City Star. Last time they did the Farm Bill, there was a bit of a standoff over the SNAP program. What's the Trump administration's commitment or vision for the SNAP program long term?
I think, again, the vision of SNAP program is the new motto for the Department of Agriculture. That's do right and feed everyone. And obviously, just as the Farm Bill should be a safety net for producers, we think it also ought to be a safety net for consumers who cannot provide for themselves in a temporary situation. You know, the essence of the food stamp program was a temporary situation for someone who had lost their job temporarily. So there will probably be requirements to look for work or to be working for work training, for child care while they're doing, for transportation, those kind of things. The role of this administration, the goal of this administration, is to put people to work with a good paying job where they don't have to depend on food stamps. That's the real goal, is a revived economy. You'll see a tax policy coming soon for the middle class that revives a growing economy to make sense where people are not dependent upon the government. We want to be there as a safety net when bad things happen, but it shouldn't be a permanent position in that area, I think.
So you would like, there's some states, including Kansas, that for some of these social welfare problems have adopted work requirements. That's the direction you think you guys could go for SNAP?
Well, again, I'm a former governor, a federalist, so I believe a lot of these decisions should be devolved to the state over their own culture and their own rules and regulations in that state. And we'll be fairly liberal in some of that and looking at what states want to do. There are certain confinements and regulations that they'll have to comply with, laws and the Farm Bill, but I believe that local culture knows best in most instances. Yes?
Mr. Secretary Ben Nulli with Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network from Des Moines.
Welcome down.
Thanks. President Trump has proposed a 21% cut to USDA funding. Mm-hmm. I guess, how do you feel about that, or in what ways are you going to move forward if this had to pass through Congress?
Well, I'm prepared to defend that budget, although I would prefer it not be that way. But as a as American facing a $20 trillion debt with 14 grandchildren, I don't think it's my moral responsibility to kick that debt to those 14 grandchildren. So I'm happy. I think that's what he talked about in the campaign of physical conservatism to get under control. Now, a 21% cut in agriculture, that's tough. But as governor, it's just like a bad revenue estimate. And I governed from 2003 to 2011, which were not the best economic times in America. In fact, 5 of the 8 budgets that I presented to the General Assembly had less money than the year before. And we really devolved about 20% of the budget during that period of time. So I didn't like a lot of those revenue estimates. We managed to them. And we did more with less, and we inspired people to do more with less. That's what we were doing here at USDA Day to Day, is saying, look, we can do better. You're doing good now. Nothing wrong, but we can always do better. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at that and advise OMB and the president, and certainly work with Congress as the appropriators, ultimately, to know. But we've got to get this deficit under control, and we don't want to do it all on the backs of USDA either. Everybody needs to give some, but the real essence is, I think the tax policy coming out will help us grow us out of this, and we will be restoring many of those things as we go along.
Thanks.
I like y'all a lot more than D.C. press.
Following up on for the Iowa Reporter,
yeah.
Are you going to, as Politico has reported this today, appoint Bill Northrup from Iowa as your deputy for the USDA?
Is that what Politico said?
They did.
You can't believe what Politico says.
Well, come on.
That has not been determined. Bill North is a great guy. He's been a great state administrator, great state secretary. We visited a few times, but that decision hadn't been made. But I guess if it's going to happen, if Politico says so.
Come.
Yes.
I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Tom Stever with Brownfield Ag.
Yes.
And when do you anticipate that some of your appointments to staff USDA at higher levels will be made?
We'll be working on our deputy and our undersecretaries and passing those along to the White House. As you know, our recommendations, these are the president's appointments. They're president appointed and Senate confirmed for many of them, for 17 or 18 of them. Otherwise, they're presidential appointments and presidential approval. So we've interviewed some people, and we'll be passing their names along to the White House to make sure that they agree with us, or they may have other names which we will agree to. And so that's the way it works. We'll be doing that expediently because with just 3 days on the job, I'm looking for help.
Brian Lauer, The Surrogate. Any possibility of an administration role for Sam Brownback? He's been mentioned in some circles, some roles related to agriculture from various departments.
Well, I love Governor Brownback, and I know he was considered really for secretary, and I haven't spoken to him recently about that. I think he loves being governor of Kansas.
Wyatt Bechtel, Farm Journal Media. We had some massive wildfires here
yes.
in the High Plains in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Colorado. Are there any plans for further relief, the livestock indemnity program, CRP, any further plans from USDA to help those farmers and ranchers?
Yeah, I hope you're aware of what's already been done. I was briefed yesterday by our people over the immediacy. They were on the ground within 2 days of those devastating fires and did what was legal under the law to do that. For as far as the livestock indemnity plan, the burning of the fences and those kinds of things, and the CRP relief, which will begin to allow CRP grazing on that. So I was very proud of the team. As you know, I was not there. I was sitting on my hands waiting to be confirmed, guarded from anything at USDA. But I was very proud of the professionalism and the quick action of the team when the devastating fires. You know that your members of Congress and Chairman Roberts and Senator Moran, as well as the other members both from Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas, all of them came together. Chairman Conaway are all very interested in it. USDA has already acted in many of those things with those programs that we talked about that are appropriated there, and those farmers should be receiving relief as we speak now. Obviously, the fencing program is a reimbursement program, so they rebuild, submit invoices, and are reimbursed for a majority of those expenses. It's like any devastating loss. There's no amount of total 100% recovery. Whether you, if you have an accident, your house burns, or anything like that, this kind of losses can never make you whole again. But the USDA is stepping in the gap to make sure these people don't have a devastating career-ending, farm-ending kind of loss.
Do you or President Trump have any plans to visit that area, see some of the devastation? I know that talking with some ranchers out there, they were a little perturbed that there wasn't more coverage from media. We did our best, but no mention from the president during that time.
Yeah.
That was something that...
Well, I wanted to come, I'll be honest with you. That was not, I wasn't allowed to do that. And I wasn't allowed to come out there with the members of Congress during that period of time. I do plan to visit, but again, as I said, I'm very pleased with the professionalism and the quick action of USDA on the ground in those areas. And we'll continue to look at any other opportunities that we may have from a disaster-like perspective, of whether it's through the CCC or a disaster allocation for them.
Okay. One more thing, Mr. Secretary.
Yes.
Obviously, there's been some narrative about infighting in the White House. Obviously, as you noted, you're still in your first week.
Yeah.
But can you respond, you know, for people here in the heartland, is there any truth to this idea that there's varying camps in the White House that have, you know, are in some cases maneuvering against each other?
You know, if there is, I don't see it. This president cultivates an open source environment. He wants people to speak their mind. And you've got some very strong opinionated people in the White House, and that's what you hear going on, is people with the freedom and the liberty to speak their mind. And I frankly like that style of leadership. I try to do that kind of leadership within USDA, is making sure we don't need to be yes people. We don't need to speak with one voice. If we spoke with one voice, it wouldn't need to be but one of us. So he cultivates an open source environment where people can contradict one another, where they can give different opinions, and he's right there listening, and he'll make the final decision. So I think that kind of atmosphere, probably which the press is not used to, speaking with a singular voice and no disagreement, they're not used to that kind of leadership. I like it because I think it gets the best results, and this kind of leader is confident in his business acumen and his ability to make instinctive decisions as well as database decisions over the right way to go after hearing everyone speak their mind. So I think that's what's going on. I've not seen any evidence of backbiting or trying to subterfuge or undercut people that the press has reported. I've not seen that at all.
Thank
you.
Okay. One more. We have time for one more.
Go. You again.
What's your top priority?
Well, generally, the top priority, as I told these good people here today, was to make the USDA the best managed, the most efficient, the most effective, the proudest run, the most fun place to work in the United States government. What does that translate into? It translates into better service and a better product for our producers and our consumers. So my goal is to have a good place to work for employees, but a productive, customer-friendly kind of thing. I gave them examples of three restaurants in Georgia. One of them, you walk in, they say, what do you have? What do you have? You go into Chick-fil-A, and they say, my pleasure. How can I serve you? And that you go into the Waffle House, they're open 24/7. So we want to be available. We want to say, when people walk across that counter, what do you have, Mr. Farmer? How can I help you today? It's my pleasure. Do it with a smile. Do it with quality. That's my goal for USDA.
Thanks, okay? Everybody.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate your time.
What do you have? What do you have?